here this morning. There we go. You come to your last Sunday with some mixed feelings, just because it's been an interesting experience for Candy and I over this past year with you folk, and the experience has been so powerfully positive for me. It's really tough to see it come to an end. You just don't know the effects that ministry has on your life as you pastor. And with about 30, almost 35 years of pastoring and having different experiences with different churches, with different people, you have a way of getting close to people when you're in the church. And as a pastor, and I just am so grateful for the opportunity that I have had with you. And you know, and I appreciate the way that you have supported me and supported Candy, and how you look to me for help and advice and direction and prayer and a whole host of other things as your pastor. It was certainly a great experience for us. And as I stand here this morning to give my last sermon to you, at least in this context, never know, I might be back to fill in for Alan when he needs a fill-in, who knows. But nonetheless, we'll deal with that when the opportunity comes. But, you know, just you have some interesting emotions flowing through you. And then on top of that, this week being the week that we've had with our son in the hospital and being down in the hospital every day since Monday, spending a number of hours each day with Mike when he was in the ICU, and that's a scary place in and of itself, just because it's like going into a spaceship when you go in there. All the things, the equipment they have and devices they have, you don't dare touch anything for fear of setting us off into orbit or something. But he sure was well cared for. And then they sent him from there to the step-down unit in the ICU, and not as much equipment, but still same caliber of care. And now he's moved from ICU to the floor, so we're grateful for that. But, you know, as his dad, you have this concern. Candy, one of Candy's colleagues, had her 29-year-old son die in that ice storm. And so she had a funeral to go to on Friday. And that could have been Michael, you know, very easily, with the condition that he has, had it been worse. But we're just grateful to the Lord that it isn't, or it wasn't, and we pray that it won't become an issue that gets worse. So, you know, Randy has already made comment to me a couple times of the fact I'm a little off today, but I think I'm on enough to be able to keep stand here and share with you some thoughts that God's laid on my heart as I share this last sermon for you, or to you. Just to let you know, I don't have a clue what next week's going to bring, both in my personal life and my ministry. I don't have anything in the loop at this point. So we are trusting the Lord with our future, and just waiting for Him to lead us in a direction that He wants us to go. So continue to pray with us and for us, just that He would reveal His will to us in His time, and that we would be able to see it and be able to focus on it and move towards it. But I thought before we look into God's Word, we'd spend some time in prayer. And I know I've mentioned already Liam's brother still needs our prayers, as does Cindy's mom and Noreen's nephew and Margie's brother and our son. But I don't know, is there any other prayer requests that you have that we could just bring to the Lord this morning? Anything that's on your heart that you'd like us to pray as a church family? All right, well, let's go to prayer. Our Heavenly Father, today we come to you with mixed emotions. At least I come to you with mixed emotions. Just praying that your Spirit would guide me through this hour and allow me to share what you've laid upon my heart in a clear and concise way. My heart is heavy just because I do not like saying goodbye, but also for the burden we're carrying, Candy and I, with Michael's condition. And we just pray for him and pray that you would just continue to have your hand upon him. And as the diagnoses are made, that we'd understand what needs to happen in order for him to get well once again. And that we just commit him into your care. And we just thank you. As we have been praying for weeks and months for church family members and friends that have been struggling, we have confidence that when we surrender someone into your care and keeping, that your Spirit does surround them with your love and mercy and strength. And so we pray that for Michael, as we pray that for Liam's brother and Cindy's mom and Noreen's nephew, and for others who are under the weather, that are struggling physically. This is a season where there's a lot of sickness, and we just pray that you would just raise people back to full health and strength. Father, we thank you for this church and for the ministry they have in this community, and we pray for Alan and Kathy as they prepare to come and start their ministry here next week. And we pray that you would prepare them for the ministry that you would have go on in this place. We know that there are lots of opportunities that are there before the church, as we know there's lots of issues that will either propel the church forward or hold it back. And we pray that your Spirit would give the church the freedom to do what you would want the church to do, so that your will be done in this place. Father, we know that people all around here are desperately looking for answers, but unfortunately they're looking in all the wrong places. And so it gives us a great opportunity when we discuss matters with our friends and co-workers and neighbors all around us, that we show them the way to you as the giver of life. And we pray that you would give us much boldness to be able to point people to you as they search for answers in this crazy mixed up world that we live in. We thank you for your consistency. We thank you for your care. We thank you for your compassion for us. And we thank you for your continued guidance day by day. I don't know how we would survive some of the circumstances we have to go through without your strength and guidance and knowing that we're not alone. So for that, we want to thank you and praise you for the opportunity to be part of a church family. And we look forward to how you will continue to work in our life as we walk with you into the unknown as we move towards 2014. May we be excited about 2014 as you are, with all the possibilities that are out there to minister your love and to expand your kingdom. So we want to just ask for guidance and direction. And now as we look at your word, I pray for clarity and help us to be able to set aside the busyness of the past few days and all our celebrations, and to be able to listen so that we might hear from you. We just pray this in Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen. Amen. We want to look this morning at the 1 John 1. I read that passage for us in the scriptures there, 1 John 1:1-10. And from my study over the years, and I was sort of drawn into it again with the Friday night Bible study, who's worked through 1 John together with Dennis, and I had the opportunity to do a few different studies or different nights with them. And one of the things that is so important from 1 John is that it talks about how we are to keep our spiritual hearts healthy, and the importance of our having a heart for people who don't know God. And you know, we talk a lot about eating healthy. We talk a lot about exercising for the physical body and how we want to be physically fit. And I know Elaine, if you don't know a program to go, just talk to Elaine. She'll help you get physically fit. I'm sure that she wouldn't mind showing you some moves that could shed some of those Christmas pounds that at least James doesn't have them, so it must be working for James. We very rarely talk about how to keep our heart healthy in the spiritual sense. You know, how do you, and what do you plan to do to have a healthy heart as we move forward? And I encourage you just to read the 1 John on your own. Just sit down. It's only four chapters. Might take you a half hour. Or if you're a fast reader, maybe 15 minutes. Just sit down and read it in its entirety and just see the context and catch a glimpse of God's heart that he has for us. And it is quite incredible, because he loves us so much. He has a heart for his people, you know, beyond what we could humanly comprehend. He has a heart for you as an individual, which is so incredible that he has a heart specifically for you. You know, we talk about God's people, but then narrow it down to just you. And that is so important to know how much he loves us, and he has this huge heart for you. And he also has this incredible longing that you know him. Now, knowing him takes a bit of effort. You know, when you meet a new friend, you know, it takes a while to get to know them. One of the things that was kind of neat through this ice storm, this buddy of mine that I was saying had his power just come on yesterday, he came over and stayed with us. His wife and two young children went to his sister's in Oakville, but he sort of stayed at home to try and keep the house from, you know, freezing solid, I guess. But he ended up at our house, and he and I fish a lot together. And when I first met him, all I knew was that he had this love for fishing. And I go, oh, that's neat. And so I just sort of registered that. He's the kind of guy I'd like to get to know a little bit more. And so opportunity presented itself, I would. I would meet with him. I'd go out and have coffee with him. And I began the process of making friends to the point of saying, do I really want to spend a whole day in a boat with this guy? Because when you're out in the lake in a boat with somebody, you want to be sure you can at least get along, because I can't walk on water to get away from him, you know. And I don't want to be guilty of kicking him out of my boat. when we're so far away from shore. And so we began the friendship to the point where on Christmas, no, I guess it was Boxing Day night, I said to him, listen, give up this, whatever it was, to keep your house from freezing and come on over, because our house is warm now that we had the power. And so he did. And he came over and we sat down, and it was just like my brother being there. You see, the friendship has gotten so close because we have worked on that relationship. And that relationship is very strong. And, you know, I trust him, and I gave him my car. I gave him the key to the house. You know, I know him well enough, and I have that kind of relationship with him because I have worked on that relationship. And, you know, we sat together. Candy, she took advantage of sleeping in all the time, so I'd get up and we'd have breakfast together. His name's George, so George and I would have breakfast together, and just being able to chat across the table first thing in the morning. And, you know, it just strengthens the bond that we have between us. Well, God wants you to know him in the same way. But it just doesn't happen. It just won't happen unless we're willing to take the necessary steps to do that, to develop a relationship with the creator of this universe. Now you say, how does that happen? How could I ever do something like that? Something that has seemed so intangible, so out of touch here. How do I really get to know God in a way like I would get to know a buddy to go fishing with? Well, it takes some time, some effort, and some hard work, and it begins in God's Word. You know, the Bible is given to us for a reason. You know, and that's why we encourage you to read it. And if you don't have a hard copy of it, then go to YouVersion of the Bible and get a free copy for your computer or your smartphone. There's no excuse not to have a copy of the Scriptures. And begin to read it. And when you don't understand something, then start asking each other questions. You see, one of the biggest drawbacks that I find in the church today is that we are all trying to impress each other of how smart we are, how much we know, how strong we are, how spiritual we are, how pious we are, you know, how godly we are. We are afraid, and you know, I would not hazard to think that there are burdens that you're carrying, but you're just afraid to share them. Like when I ask you about prayer requests, I am sure you have prayer requests that we need to pray for, but you're afraid to share them. One of the reasons we're afraid to share them is because we might not look good in somebody else's eyes, because I have a need that I need to be prayed for. You know, and if they don't need to be prayed for, why should I need to be prayed for? And I don't want to admit that. And that's one of the issues the church has to shake, because we're all struggling pilgrims on this journey. None of us have made it, because as long as you're breathing, you haven't made it, all right? Once you stop breathing, then you've made it, because you'll be ushered into the presence of God and you'll start to experience your eternity with God. But until you get there, we haven't made it. And we're all cut by the same, well, let's not say that. Let's say it in a little clearer way. We're all made the same way. And we all have deficiencies. And we all have struggles. And no matter if I'm the pastor, I have struggles. You have struggles. You have issues that I can help you with, that you can help me with. And that's the beauty of the church. And we got to get over this, that we can't get help from one another, because strength comes in numbers. Because one of the things I've learned in the Christian life is if you are in this alone, Satan will chew you up and spit you out. Because he knows when you are alone, you're very susceptible to his attacks. And then you have to start dealing with all the negative thoughts in your head that tell you you're no good, You don't deserve God's love. You've messed up again. God doesn't love you. You know, why would he love somebody who is such a failure? You know, and all those things that go through our heads over and over and over again. And, you know, the lies that he throws our way, we are so susceptible to believe them. Hello. We're so susceptible to believe them when we are alone. But when we have people around us and we're in a group, in a church, in a community, well then, I won't let you believe that. I will tell you, if I hear that out of your mouth, I will correct you. And hopefully if you ever hear that out of my mouth, you would correct me. Because we have to help each other deal with the lies of this world, the lies of Satan. But as we go to this passage in 1 John, we see how big God's heart is. And, you know, I'm sure we know people. One of the things I remember about my dad is that he had a huge heart. You know, he had a lot of issues, and like all of us, we all have issues, but he had a huge heart. There were times where he would come home from his work as a chaplain in the jail with a couple guys toting behind him because they got out of jail and they had nowhere to go. So he brought them home. You know, why not? So we had them live with us until they could get on. Now, we did have guys that get out and their marriages are struggling, so dad would have the guy live with us and bring in the mother and or his wife and the children and try to bring some reconciliation, you know, and that's just the way he was. He had a huge heart. And so when I think of the heart of God, I almost compare it to my dad's heart, but I know God's heart is a lot bigger than my dad's heart. He has a huge heart. And that's why, you know, we get so frustrated and so caught up in this issue today with how Christianity is all the intolerance of Christianity and how we are attacked, and we go, oh, woe is me, what's happening? Well, God understands, and he knows that people are going to hate him, but he still has a big heart for them. You know, his heart is not limited to those who believe in him. His heart is for all his creation. He loves all of his creation, even those who are vehemently opposed and full of hatred towards God. You know, that's the way God is. And, you know, it's so different from us because we get so, you know, so uptight with people who are attacking us. And, you know, and that's why we need to read the scriptures, because the scriptures are very clear that we will be attacked. All right, it's not maybe, it's not, you know, if you are ever, but you will be attacked. The church will be attacked. And that's what we are experiencing today. And we need to understand the reality of that. And that's, again, why it's important to be together in the church. But in this letter that John's writing, he talks about this heart being right from the very beginning. It says in verse 1 of chapter 1, he says, that which was from the beginning, that which we have seen and touched and handled concerning the word of life. You know, right from the very beginning, God had this incredible heart for all his creation. And I guess I can use this since I made a PowerPoint. So, yeah, see, I'm a little bit behind here. Sorry about that. But that which was from the very beginning, you know, that's when God got in, right at the very beginning. And then if you look at another translation, or actually it's a paraphrase, it's from the Message. It says, from the very first day, from the very first day, we were there, taking it all in. We heard it with our own eyes, or with our own ears, saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our own hands. Now he's talking about his experience with Jesus and the reality that Jesus was there right at the beginning, and he came to earth for a purpose. And you look at going a little further here in Genesis, where it says in the beginning, and you flip over to 1 John 1:1, and it says in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and then it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, He became flesh and dwelt among us because of God's incredible heart. He loved us that much that He sent His Son Jesus. The Word is the expression of God in Jesus Christ. So when you see the Word in Scripture, it means Jesus, who is incarnate, is the expression of God. And when we experience Jesus, He creates within us a new me. And John is telling us in this letter that this all-powerful one, the one who could have remained in heaven and could have remained just this abstraction of God in heaven, actually became real and flesh and blood like you and like me, so that He might be able to express His heart for us. This is the message in verse 5. It says, this is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. Now, what was the message that we heard, or that they heard from Him? Was the message that Jesus died for your sins? No, that wasn't the message. Was the message, accept Christ or you're going to hell? No, that wasn't his message either. It says, the message that He declares to you is that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. God is light, and there's no darkness at all. In Scriptures, when there's this comparison of light and darkness, it's good and evil. And so what John is saying is that God is so incredibly good, that there's no darkness, no evil whatsoever. And that's why it's so important when we listen to the attacks of Satan to know that they're not from God. Because God is not darkness. He is light. He is love. He is truth. And so we need to remind ourselves that God is good. That God is good. And He says, we write this to you because it makes our joy complete. Now, oftentimes I think we think Christmas is where joy comes, you know, from our celebrations, and we have all this joyful music, joyful decorations, you know, pretty presents, way too much food, and far too much activity. We end up wearing ourselves out because too many people, too long a time, too much talking, too much... But we think that we hook our joy to those kinds of experiences. But the joy comes when we understand the heart of God. And that joy is something we should experience every day of every week, of every month. There was an article I read in the newspaper, it was quite some time ago, but I remember it as if I read it this past week, because the title of it was, Dark Chocolate Lowers Blood Pressure. Dark chocolate lowers blood pressure. Well, when you see a headline like that, you'd read on, and I did. I did, because that's something to celebrate. You know, the dark chocolate can actually be good for you. You know, and everybody tells me, oh, I shouldn't eat it, can't eat it. And I go, well, no, for dark chocolate, it is good for you. So there you are. So if you've had that discussion with your significant other, just say, no, Pastor Wayne says it's all right to have dark chocolate, but we have to eat it in moderation. That's the only thing. But a little bit every day apparently is good for controlling your blood pressure. So who knew that? You know, to eat a little bit every day, I can do that. You know, I don't have to eat the whole bar in one sitting. You know, I can eat it over the course of a week or maybe 2 days. But apparently from their clinical study that found that it's good to lower your blood pressure and it has health benefits. It's almost too good to be true for those of us who love chocolate. But, you know, you can be assured it is true. So there you are. When you hear good news, it makes you glad, doesn't it? It makes you happy. So I hope all those of you that got a box of chocolates at home for Christmas, I know I got a few, just remember that they are good for you when you eat them. But remember, in moderation. All right, so don't eat the whole box in one sitting, all right? There was a nationwide poll a couple years ago where people were asked, and here I am again, I'm not using this. Oh, yeah, so I'm right on the right place. What word or phrase would you like most like to hear uttered to you in all sincerity? What word or phrase, or what good news would you like to hear? What do you think the people polled said? What do you think is the most important thing people want to hear? Huh? They are loved. You are very good, Mike. Go to the head of the class. That they people want to know that they are loved. And they want to hear that you love them. So husbands, just because you told your wife when you got married that you love them, you need to do that more often, all right, than just back from your wedding day. I remember hearing that story that old man and wife were they were asked about their complaints about one another, and the wife said, "Well, I wish he would say he loved me more." And he goes, "What do you mean?" He said, "I told you when I got married, and if I changed my mind, I would have told you." But we need to tell one another, because it's a very important thing to be told that you are loved. What do you think the next one is? Any ideas? Who's the second smartest here? Mike's the smartest. Rudy? What's that? You are needed? No. Sorry. Any thoughts? You're doing well? No? Ah, very good. It's Sophie, right? Is it Sophie? Jesse, I'm sorry. Number two is you are forgiven. That is a very important thing to say to people, to one another, that you are forgiven. And it's an incredible, powerful phrase. And the third one, anybody, eh? Thank you? No, that's important though to say thank you. No, I don't think any of you will get this one because it cracked me up when I saw it. Supper's ready. Who knew? Who knew? Supper's ready. Well, there must be a lot of people that don't cook. And I know I'm always happy when Candy says supper's ready. I know her most favorite time, Candy, is when she comes home and she doesn't have to prepare it. And it's ready already. So I think there's some significance in hearing those words, supper's ready. So I want us to look at these three. I love you, I forgive you, and supper's ready here today as we finish up this passage of scripture. First of all, supper is ready. Now, I wouldn't have said this, that's an important thing for me to say, but when you realize, or when you look at it, that's a very basic necessity of life, is food. Without food, we won't survive, plain and simple. Our problem today is we got too much food, I think. Well, I know I do. We need to sort of cut back. But it is very important to eat and very important to have good food. It's a primary need. And when others prepare it, it's like saying, "I want you to keep on living." You know, when Candy prepares my supper, I know she's committed to see me survive to the next day. Even though she knows I'd probably survive for the next month, even if I didn't eat, you know. But nonetheless, it's telling me, and that's what I'm assuming she's telling me, that it's important to keep me alive. Because who would put out the garbage if I wasn't there? And it's all talking about being a participant in life. And we're to do life together, experience life together. And if you read through the Gospels, you find how much Jesus cared about meals too. Because he was always eating with his, with all different people, from prostitutes to Pharisees to friends. And that's where he built relationships. That's where he got to know the disciples. That's where conversations were held. That's where they relaxed and enjoyed and began to understand each other. And then when he had his Last Supper with his disciples, the significance of that. When the bread and the cup were blessed, that how he gave those elements to his disciples and to us to remember the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now God tells us our hunger will be satisfied. And the hunger, whether it's a physical hunger or a spiritual hunger, we need to understand where we go to get that hunger satisfied. And God says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And I will supply your needs. I will give to you what you need. It says that the next is, I will give you rest. And you don't rest if you're hungry. You don't rest if you're agitated. You don't rest if you're struggling with anger, bitterness, and the sins of this world. But if we trust him, come to him, and we understand that he is there with supper being ready. The next piece of good news is that I forgive you. And there's a t-shirt I saw one time where it says, Lord, please help me to be the person that my dog thinks I am. Please help me be the person that my dog thinks I am. You know, I sometimes mistreat my dog because I take out my anger on him. Because he does stupid things, and I react, you know. And so I'll give him a good cuff in the ear and send him sprawling. Or, you know, I don't do it maliciously, but, you know, I know that I probably at times have treated him not as nicely as I could. But, you know, that dog keeps on coming back to me. He's right there to put his leg or his head on my leg as I sit and read or watch TV. You know, the dog trusts me entirely. And I go, man, I just smacked you on the butt and you come back to me with your tail wagging, you know. That's just the way dogs are. If you don't have a dog, then I encourage you to get one, because they love unconditionally, you know. They keep on coming back to the one who feeds them, because they know that they can trust you. So, you know, I think we all think we have issues that we need to change. You know, I think there's all of us that deep down we examine our hearts, we realize that there's work to be done, because we are not who we'd like to be. And sometimes we can fool other people. And I did that for a number of years, fooled other people while my insides were crumbling and decaying. I would still be able to go through the motions of life and ministry, even though I was getting deeper and deeper in depression. You know, we can fool some people, but one thing we can't do is fool God. And you know, all God needs from us is what it says in verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, if you haven't memorized that verse, you need to, because that's one of the key verses to use when we are in the battle with the deceiver. Because when we confess our sins, God forgives us. As amazing as those few words sound, that's the reality with our God, because he has such an incredible heart for you and for me. And so all he says, you know, confess your sins and I'll forgive you. His arms are always wide open. He never turns his back on us. He waits for us to confess our sins to him. He is standing there waiting. We don't have to call him over because he's ignored us for a number of months or even number of years. He is right there with us. And so it's important for us to know that and to realize that, that we need to confess our sins. And when we do that, you know, your life takes on a whole different perspective, a whole different meaning. We have more joy when we confess our sins. We want to pray more because we want to talk to this God who has forgiven us, who accepts us, who loves us. We want to be personally connected to him. We will be less fearful and more apt to make a difference in the world if we would remember to confess those sins that hold us back and hold us down. And all of us have besetting sins. There's not one of us that doesn't here in this room. And when we get released from those, you know, it's like being full of helium and being lifted up and just being able to experience life from a whole different direction. If we are forgiven people, then we need to live like it. We need to act like it. And we need to rejoice in it to know that we are forgiven people. And when the lies come, because we are so, our tendencies are to fail, because we are human, you know, then we remember that we must ask for forgiveness. And God will forgive us. And what a tremendous reality that is. And then the third one is, I love you. I love you. Now, in our world today, love has got such a weird and twisted and mangled meaning. You know, with all the talk about love, love stories, love songs, love movies, love poems, love cards, and all and all, on and on and on, there's so little sincere love. And, you know, I hope that as believers, that we are people who care for one another and legitimately and sincerely love one another. That we're able to see beyond our human struggles. You know, see beyond the sins that each of us struggle with and still be able to love in spite of that. You know, I hope we just don't say it, but that we actually show it, just like Jesus did. People can go to church all their lives and never quite understand the fact that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We might say it, we might sing it, but it just doesn't seem to resonate with us or register with us because of the way we live. You know that the love of God is so incredible. It's even better than being able to eat dark chocolate. You know, it's better than that. You know, and I hope you experience that and that's your reality. One of the things we have to ask ourselves, has John 3:16, has it lost its impact? That God so loved the world, it says, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a powerful verse that we talk about it from our Sunday school days, but the meaning is, should penetrate our hearts every day. That God so loved us that he gave up his one and only son. Why? Because the relationship God had with Adam and Eve in the garden was broken by sin coming in. And that sin caused a great separation between him and us. And so God had to have something, and that something was his son that pulled that distance together. But has that lost its impact? Has that lost its thunder? Has that become so muffled by all the religious rhetoric that we hear today that we are deaf to the world, that God could have these tender, loving feelings towards us? You know, in the most part, it's yes. You know, God has tried, tries over and over to shout through and over the noisiness of life that we just can't hear Him. We've just completely cut Him off. But in the stillness and solitude, He whispers. He shouts to our very being, and He says, I am here for you. I've been calling you, but you haven't been listening. And He asks, can you hear me? Can you hear me? I love you so much. I gave up my son. I've always loved you, He tells us. I've always been waiting for you to hear me and say that you love me back. But you've been too busy trying to prove yourself that you are worth loving. And you know, there's none of that that is necessary to God. We don't have to prove it at all. He already loves us completely, just as we are. One of the struggles that we have as a believer is we're always reminded that we are failures. You know, we didn't read our Bible today. We didn't pray. We didn't ask God for direction. We got upset and we said things we shouldn't have in the context of a conflict. And we are constantly told, whether it's by our family and friends or just by the reality of the way Satan works in our heads, that we are no good. We are nothing but failures. And God says, no, that is so wrong. I love you so much just the way you are. You don't have to prove anything to God. He loves us just as we are. And when we accept that love, then the process of Him making us righteous, starting to clean up our act from the inside out, that process, you know, becomes a challenge, but it becomes such a joy to know that He cares so much that He wants us to become the best image of Jesus that the world has ever seen. And wouldn't it be nice for people to say, when you leave a room, you know, that person reminds me of Jesus. You know? Would they say that about you? Would they say that about me? Well, they can, if we are committed to what God has enabled for us to experience in His life, in His love. And when you think of John, particularly, who's the writer of this little letter, you know, what did he refer himself as? He was the disciple whom Jesus loved. He knew that love, didn't he? He experienced that love. And that same love is available to us because we too, if we are a child of God, if we have accepted Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, we too are the person whom Jesus loved and continues to love. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that unbelievable? And if we can ride this into 2014 and just burn it into our hearts and minds and souls to remember that I am forgiven and I am loved and that supper's ready. If we can burn those into our mind as we go into 2014, you know, there is nothing that we can't accomplish for Jesus' sake. Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing should hold us back because He has done this. He has such an incredible heart for us. You know, one of the things that is how do I say this? It's not a bad thing, but it's God gave me gifts as a pastor. You know, he gives us all gifts, and he gave me pastoral gifts. And one of the realities of that pastor's gift is a pastor's heart. And that pastor's heart has been exercised incredibly over the last number of months with you, because I have learned and grown to love you very much. And I have appreciated the relationships that I have with some of you. And I hope that you have felt my love towards you as I have sensed your love towards me. But, you know, my pastor's heart is such a small slice of what God's heart is for us. You know? And he is there ready with his arms wide open. And he says, come to me. Come to me. Confess your sins. Trust me. I've forgiven you. Not I will, I have. It's not something in the future. It's a reality right now in the present. I have forgiven you, and I will always love you. That is a fantastic principle to remember as we walk this life with him and with one another in the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you for the privilege of studying your word together, and I thank you for your Spirit's work amongst us, even here this morning. And I thank you too for speaking to my heart. And we just pray that as we walk this life together, that you would continue to show yourself and your mighty power and your ability to change lives and to turn people away from their sins and to death, away from death and darkness, and bring them into life so that they can experience a newness of life that is uncomparable to anything else. We just thank you for accomplishing that in our life, those of us who sit here and know you personally. And may that new life continue to grow day by day. May we not get complacent. May we never get comfortable. But may we experience your challenge to continue to walk with you and experience this newness of life in a greater way as we go into this next year, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if the worship team would come and lead us in our closing song.